Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
Open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 11. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. The passage of Scripture that we will look at tonight is perhaps one of the greatest, if not the greatest, portions of Scripture in detail regarding the Lord's Supper. When it comes to the Lord's Supper as a church, Emmanuel Missionary Baptist, we do not take it lightly. It's a very sacred thing. It is a very special thing. In the Lord Jesus Christ, I was sharing, Brother Stephen and I was talking about, we've been talking a lot this last week, and I was saying to him, and we were discussing, I believe it was last night, I said, you know, when you look at the Lord, everything Jesus did when he came, it was as if he took everything to the next level. If he was teaching on the subject of marriage, he took it to the next level. If he was teaching on the subject of the law, he took the law of God to the next level. Jesus said to those scribes and Pharisees the day when they accused him in the Sermon on the Mount of coming to destroy the law and the prophets, Jesus said, I come not to destroy, I come to fulfill. Jesus took the law to the next level. When Jesus Christ, talking of the subject of love, he told his disciples to love one another. That wasn't something that was anything unusual. However, he took it to the next level when he said, love one another as I have loved you. So when we think about Jesus Christ, he took everything to the next level. We know that Jesus indeed is God. He is indeed 100% God incarnate. Jesus Christ, being a Jew, understood in great detail what the Passover was all about. And it will be from that Passover meal that Jesus Christ would choose two elements to institute the Lord's Supper. It will be, if you will, out with the old and in with the new covenant. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you found your place, please, in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word, stand with us. And I will read verses 23 through 28. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter to a very carnal church. He's writing it to a very worldly church. He's writing it to a church that is full of a lot of division in it. And let me just go on record. It is never God's will for the members of a body, a local body, to be at division with one another. It is never the will of God. It's the will of Satan, but it's never the will of God. So Paul writes to this church, the church at Corinth, and he begins to tell them about the Lord's Supper. In verse 23, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." But now notice in verses 26 and following. He says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth, and let me show you, notice what Paul's saying now. This is very serious. When we come to the Lord's table, when we come to do the Lord's Supper as a church, as a local assembly, it's a very serious matter. And the Apostle Paul stresses the seriousness of it. He says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Our Father, Lord, we're amazed at your grace in our lives. We're amazed at your mercy. We're humbled to know that you died on the cross for us, you rose again. And God, we're humbled to know that everything you did in your life, you took to the next level. Father, to those Jews in that room that night, you took a very traditional meal in the Passover, and you took it to another level. No longer would lambs have to die, because God, you indeed, as the perfect lamb, would give your life shortly thereafter. So, Father, bless the reading of your word, we pray. I pray, God, that as your people, and as members in particular of this body, Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, that we will lay aside, if there is any division, any bitterness, God, anything that may hinder us, I pray, God, that we'll lay it aside and we will ask for forgiveness of it. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Lord's Supper. The Bible tells us in the Gospels that that night that Jesus indeed institutes this Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus Christ had been betrayed by Judas. It was a very solemn night. It was a very somber night. It was a very agonizing night in the heart and the life of our Lord. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can allow the cross to become complacent in our life. We talk about the cross, and rightfully so. The Paul even told the same church, the church at Corinth, in chapter 15, he declared unto them what the gospel was. That the gospel is indeed the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. It's a very serious matter when it comes to the gospel that we understand that there's one gospel message. I had someone in my family say to me one time, she said, Tracy, you are aware that there's more than one gospel. To which my mind responded and my mind thought of in the book of Galatians, where the Apostle Paul told him, he said, if anybody preach another gospel, let him be accursed. Literally, anathema, let him be damned. Very strong language when it comes to the gospel and how we are not to distort it. We are not to change it. We are not to, if you will, as far as distort the message and the fact that what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, he did it alone. Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ was buried. Jesus Christ rose again the third day. And having said that, in this passage of Scripture, Paul gives us four things, and we're going to go through these because I'm praying that God will do is that the Lord Jesus Christ will use this service, the Lord's Supper service, to revive us. You say, preacher, why is it? Why? I mean, after all, I mean, the Lord's Supper, I mean, that's a service that churches do all across our land. That's a service that churches sometimes do every Sunday. We don't do it every Sunday here. The thing about our Lord, he didn't tell us how many times to do it. He just said, when you do it, do it often in remembrance of me. When you do it in my memory. Do it in remembrance of what I did for you. So real quickly, let me give you four things that Paul calls our attention to. Number one, first of all, we see he gives a word of explanation here in verse number 23. The Bible tells us, and Paul begins to share for us about that night that Jesus was betrayed. He says that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, if you will, hold your place and go with me back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 26. In Matthew chapter number 26, beginning in verse number 17, again, this is Passover time. This was a time when every Jewish family would observe the Passover meal. It was a time when every Jewish family would remember as a nation how God had brought them out of bondage. How God, through the lamb, the death of a lamb, you remember the story in the book of Exodus, how God would use the death of that lamb and the blood of that lamb applied to the doorpost to allow the death angel to pass over. And the Jews were, for thousands of years since that Passover night, were to remember that. So they would gather. It was a very detailed meal. They had a lot of different aspects of that meal. There was four cups, if you will, of wine that they would drink, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But the night, Paul wants them to understand and give some explanation to that night. So we start that in verse number 17 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? Jesus was Jewish, and therefore, as a Jew, you would do that. Every year you would observe the Passover as a Jew. So Jesus, not anything out of the ordinary, his disciples said, well, we're Jewish, it's time that we observe the Passover. So they asked the Lord. So Jesus in verse 18 says, and he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, as he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. During that Passover meal, they've done this. Now keep in mind, they have done this for years. Growing up in Jewish homes, they would observe it as their families when they were children. Now they're adult men. They're now observing again as adult men. So they're observing this Passover meal. And right as, if you will, in the middle of this Passover meal, Jesus says, one of you are going to betray me. The Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth gives explanation. He says the Passover meal that Jesus then takes a couple elements and turns this to, it brings it to a higher level, brings it, you know, if you will, abolishing the old and bringing into the new covenant, this the setting behind, the backdrop to what this meal, this Lord's Supper meal comes into, was a very agonizing and anguished night for our Lord. Jesus says, one of you will betray me. Verse 22, and they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? You know, it's interesting because here these men are, as Jewish men, they're observing this Passover. And I don't know, but my mind begins to think that maybe the Passover meal had become just something, yes, symbolically, yes, but maybe it had become to a place that, you know what, something we do every year, year after year after year after year, and maybe it had become commonplace in their life. Maybe it becomes something that they just kind of took for granted. And Jesus Christ looks right at them and says, one of you are going to betray me. They're stunned. I mean, here they are. They have walked with Jesus. They had spent time with Jesus. They've seen Jesus heal the sick. They've seen Jesus raise the dead. They've seen Jesus speak life
into dead situations. They've seen Jesus heal the sick. They've seen him give sight to the blind. They've seen him do miracle after miracle. And they've watched him change their lives. And Jesus absolutely stuns them and says, one of you will betray me. The backdrop as you continue reading in this passage. Verse 23, verse 22, every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto them, said unto him, thou hast said. Literally, you've said it. You've said it, Judas. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Tonight, as we observe as a church body, as a church family, you that are visiting are more than welcome to witness this with us. But as a church family that we've come together to observe the Lord's Supper, may we understand that the night Jesus instituted it was one of the most horrific nights of his life on this earth. The night in which he was betrayed. The night in which, if you will, he was stabbed in the back from somebody that had walked with him and been with him. It's a word of explanation, but second of all, it's a word of adoration. Go back to 1 Corinthians for a moment. It's a word of adoration. The Bible says, and when he had given thanks, he brake it. Verse 24. How prophetic. The cross, ladies and gentlemen, was no accident with Jesus. The cross was no accident. It was all a part of God's sovereign plan that the Savior of the world would die for sinners like you and I. Aren't you thankful to God tonight that, yes, you're a sinner, but aren't you thankful Jesus died for you? Now, there may be some that say, preacher, wait a minute, I'm not a sinner. Well, friend, please understand that in order for you to be forgiven, you must first of all understand that you are a sinner and you need Jesus. You won't get to heaven without Jesus Christ. And that's not my opinion. That's on the authority of God's written word, on the authority of the Bible. You have to have Jesus Christ and Jesus alone to go to heaven someday when you die. It's not a matter of being a member of a church. It's not a matter of being a member of a certain denomination. It's a matter of having Christ as your personal Savior, your Savior, your Lord. And that happens the moment you repent of being a sinner and call upon Christ as in salvation, believing in his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus Christ willingly, voluntarily laid down his life. That's why Jesus said in the book of John chapter 10, he said, no man taketh it from me. He said, I lay it down. I lay it down. I give my life. Voluntarily, vicariously, meaning in the place of, Jesus died. Let's bring it in. Jesus died for you. Teenagers, Jesus died for you. Adults, he died for you. He was buried for you. He rose again the third day for you, for me, for mankind. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, the songwriter said. It's second of all, a word of adoration. He gives us this word of adoration. The Bible tells us, you see, in our busy lives, we're prone to get forgetful, become forgetful. We tend to forget names, and that happened to me this morning, and I tried my best to act like it didn't. But sometimes we get forgetful. Sometimes you say, well, preacher, I can't believe you do that. Well, if you've been around my house in any length of time, it's not uncommon for me to call Toby, Cameron, and Cameron, and Ashley, Cameron, and Finally, you just say, "You, come here," you know, kind of thing. But we can get forgetful. But Jesus Christ, in this word of adoration, notice what he tells them. In verse number 24, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." And then notice what he says. "As oft as ye drink it, this do ye as oft," excuse me, verse 24, let me back up, I went to verse 25 for a minute. He says, "Which is broken for you," verse 24, "this do in remembrance of me." Do in remembrance of me. I said to you a moment ago, this is a serious time. And young people, it's very serious. And as your pastor, we're not going to be goofing around when we observe this Lord's Supper. I mean that. It's a serious time. You say, "Preacher, why? Why is it so serious?" Because it is a time when we remember our Lord. It's a time in which we remember our Lord. Have you remembered him lately? Have you stopped to think of how wonderful he has been to you? I mean, for those that know him as Savior here tonight, for us that are born again, this world beats up on, it absolutely beats us up. This world is constantly, there's constantly a sinward pull. I think it's Dr. Wiersbe that made that coined that phrase. It has a sinward pull about it. It is constantly pulling at us and pulling at us and pulling at us. What do you say, "Preacher, what is it trying to pull us to?" For us to worship it. For us to adore the world. For us to pledge allegiance to the world. But Jesus Christ says, no, when you come to the Lord's Supper to observe it, you do it in remembrance of me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for giving your body on the cross for me. Thank you for giving your blood for me. It's a time of explanation and adoration, but thirdly, we see it's also a time of anticipation. Verse 26, the Bible tells us, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show." Look at that. Ye do show. Literally, the word "show" there means proclaim. "Ye do show," proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Proclaiming as if like a billboard. If you're driving down the road and you see billboards, they're showing you something. They're proclaiming something to you. They're advertising something to you. And those that know Jesus as Savior, and in particular as the body here at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, we are proclaiming to a lost and dying world, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful name. The name of Jesus. A name that is above every name. He says, "You do show the Lord's death till he come." But I want to call your attention to something. Fourthly and last of all, verse 28. It's a time of examination. Let me ask you a personal question. Where are you tonight in relationship to your Lord? Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church members, where are you tonight in relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you in love with him? Or as we do get forgetful, have you forgotten what he's done for you? Have you forgotten what it took to forgive you of your sin? It took his death. It took his burial, his resurrection. It took his blood. Have you forgotten that? So Paul calls on this assembly. He says in verse 28, "But let a man examine himself." You see, one of the dangers that can happen in any local church, and I think it was happening, it was evident in Paul's letter here to the church at Corinth, because If it wasn't, he wouldn't have talked about it much, but he talked about it a lot. One of the dangers in a local New Testament church is for believers to start comparing themselves with one another and start pointing out sins in other members' lives as opposed to looking within. Doing an introspective look. Doing a look of, hey, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, God. It's not my brother. It's not my mother. It's not my sister. It's me, oh Lord. It's me. It's my sins. It's my sins that put Jesus on the cross. And somebody said, yeah, I don't know, I heard a preacher say one time, he says, you know, when it comes to sins, he said, our sins look uglier in somebody else's life. Our sin looks uglier in somebody else's life. You know, it's easy for us to point the finger and say, man, I can't believe that person is living like that. I can't believe, as a member of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, I can't believe that that person has gotten so far away from God. Well, friend, please hear my heart tonight, and I think Paul would echo this sentiment. Rather than pointing a finger, maybe in judgment to them, you better look in the mirror and say, where am I at? You see, you can be in this room and be so backslidden away from God. You can be in this room right now, and your walk with Jesus Christ is nothing. You don't talk to Him. You don't pray. You don't keep a short account of your sin. You don't confess your sins when you do them. You see, as believers in Jesus, we better learn early in our life as Christians to keep a short account of our sin, because if we don't, it'll be like Hebrews, when the writer of Hebrews said, as we run this race, let us do it. Let us lay aside the sin. Let us lay aside the weight. Let us lay aside that besetting sin, as the writer talks about. Believer, member of this body, sin will destroy you. It will absolutely destroy you. So when we come to observe the Lord's table, you say, well, preacher, but Paul told them not to eat unworthily. I mean, there is an essence. There's none of us, listen, there's none of us that can honestly say we're worthy to partake of it. Jesus has made us worthy through His shed blood, amen, through His shed blood, death, burial, and resurrection. But so how do we examine? What do we examine? Let me ask you some questions on the authority of the Bible. Do you have aught with your brother or sister tonight? Get it right before you take of this supper. Do you have bitterness in your heart? Paul addressed that to the letter to the Ephesian church at Ephesus there, the book of Ephesians. Do you have aught with your brother? Do you have unforgiveness? He said, preacher, I'll never forgive so-and-so in this church. You better, for Jesus' sake, you better. You said, well, you don't understand what they did. That may be true, but you need to understand what Jesus did for you. Jesus said, and Paul told the church at Ephesus, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, you're to forgive your brothers and sisters in Christ. Division is a bad thing. He said, well, preacher, I'm just not perfect yet. That may be the case, but you better be striving for it. Amen. Why is it as God's people we sometimes, you know, have our standards so low to shoot for that, when really we should be looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking at Him and following Him and serving Him. So tonight's invitation, first to the believer, and in particular, member of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist. If you're here tonight and there's sin in your life, you say, preacher, yeah, but I can hide it. Nobody really knows about it. Do not lie to yourself. God knows about it. Adults, teenagers, God sees it. He sees all. And as your pastor who loves you, examine yourself. That way when we do take it, we take it with a clean conscience. We take it with a life that is dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, and short account of our sin. So I want us to stand. But Stephen's going to come and lead us in a verse or two of an invitation. The instrumentalists will come. To those that are saved, Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church members, it's a time of examination. I'm a big encourager when it comes to coming to the altar. You say, preacher, why is it important? Why is it? Well, you know, sometimes as we sit in our pews, maybe even during invitation times, people don't necessarily mean it, but sometimes there can be a lot of distractions in our pews. You know, fidgeting here and fidgeting there and wrestling this and looking for this and looking for that. It can distract us. But if God has spoken to you during the sermon, and the Holy Spirit of God, and if you're saved, you know if He spoke to you or not. If the Holy Spirit of God has revealed in you that there are some things that just aren't right that you need to repent of, I encourage you as a pastor, come to this altar and confess it before your Lord. No distractions, no fidgeting around, no this and that, no looking this way and looking that way. Just coming before your Lord, confessing your sin. And as we confess our sins to the Lord in 1 John, the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what happens when we get cleansed as believers? Fellowship comes back. Fellowship with Jesus comes back. But not only fellowship with Jesus, fellowship with this body comes back.
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.